When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Says about the mark of the beast. In this segment, we want to investigate how close we actually are to implementing the mark of the beast. We're going to find out that we are closer than most people think. Now, the prophecy foretells a time when each of us will have a mark or a number without which we will not be permitted to buy or sell. It paints a picture of a system of total control. Let's look at the history of numbering people upon this earth. Over the last 70 or 80 years, most nations have implemented a system of numbering their citizens. Here in the United States of America, the Social Security system was begun in 1935 under Franklin D. Roosevelt. Now, there was opposition to this system because so many people knew their Bibles. They knew the Bible talked about a time when everybody would be numbered. Well, when the government began to talk about giving all of us a number, there was huge opposition about that. As a result, the government agreed to stamp on the Social Security card not to be used for identification. Well, obviously, that's a joke. They said it would only be used to administer the Social Security benefit program. But over time, because this number was available, little by little, people have begun to use it for taxes, for retirement, for almost everything. You've got to give your Social Security number to buy a house, to get a loan, even though they had stamped on there, not for identification. Well, it becomes such a joke that in 1972, they said, look, there's no use pretending anymore. It is used for identification, so we'll just take it away. So it's not on there anymore. But there are still some people who have these Social Security cards which say not to be used for identification. Now, during the Holocaust, Adolf Hitler numbered the Jews and many non-Jews that were imprisoned in his concentration camps. They were tattooed with a number in order to identify and track each individual. It was Hitler's way of keeping tabs on each person so that he could maintain control. The end purpose of numbering a population is always to control them. And do I need to remind you that control and freedom are opposite terms? If Fido's on a leash, he's under control. But if the leash breaks and he runs through the neighborhood, now he's free. So what do we want to do? Do we want to be on the leash of big government, or do we want to be free? You cannot have freedom when the population is numbered. And that's the reason that Americans have always resisted a national ID card. Now today, over 100 nations have compulsory national ID cards because most governments are controlling. Most governments are socialistic. They believe the people are to serve the government instead of the government serving the people. Now, most other nations, beside these 100 that have the compulsory national ID cards, most other nations have some form of non-compulsory ID. However, these non-compulsory IDs have a way of becoming mandatory over time. For example, here in the United States, most of us use our driver's license as an ID card. You can't now fly without a driver's license or an ID card. You can actually go to the driver's license bureau, even if you don't drive, and they will give you an ID card because it's so necessary. It's almost compulsory now in the society in which we presently live. Now, a national ID system is required in order to implement a totalitarian form of government. When you see the trend toward all the nations acquiring the national ID, and even to the point that it soon could be a global ID, you know that you are in the process of the slide on the slippery slope into world government. The principal reason for a national ID is control. I don't want you to forget that. And control and freedom are opposite terms. Let's talk about some of the national ID programs around the world so you can see, because there's no doubt about it, the national ID programs that are presently being set up are going to end up being the mechanism that will be used by the Antichrist and his religious partner, the false prophet, to rule the world. In India, on June the 25th of 2009, India announced it was pressing ahead with universal biometric ID cards to be completed by 2011. Now, the plan was to register 1.2 billion people, that's the entire population of India, and they were going to accomplish this phenomenally within just 18 months. In 2007, China launched an ID card containing an RFID chip for all 1.3 billion of its citizens. So here you have 1.2 billion India, 1.3 billion China. That's 2.5 billion. That's well over one-third of the world's population. Just in those two countries already now have mandatory ID cards. That means they already are under the strong hand of government and under the strong hand of control. Germany is implementing a biometric ID card to all of its citizens starting November 1 of 2010. And so we can see this is a huge trend in the world. Almost every nation is moving in this direction now. In the United States of America, fortunately, our forefathers had such a strong tradition of liberty that we've always said, no, we're not going to have a national ID card. We are men. We are not numbers. We're not going to submit to this dehumanizing of society. However, the ID card idea has been chipping away at us for a while. A lot of people think it all began on 9/11 with the terrorist attacks on New York City. But that's not true. Because Marvin Stone, the editor of U.S. News and World Report, wrote in an editorial in the September 15, 1980 edition, and his article is entitled, A National Identity Card? Now, his rationale for arguing for the establishment of a national ID here in the United States was to solve the problem of illegal immigration. This was catching momentum back in 1980 when it came to the desk of President Ronald Reagan in 1981, and when it was proposed to him, he said, what? Are you crazy? That's the mark of the beast. Well, that was the end of a national ID idea here in the United States for a while, at least until the Reagan administration was over. Ronald Reagan just happened to know enough about his Bible. He actually was a student of the book of Revelation, and he understood the mark of the beast, and he said, no way. You know, we will never have a national ID in the United States of America as long as we have a biblically literate society. But the further we get away from God's word, the more likely we are to slide into the trap that ultimately Satan is planning this trap. He intends to be able to control everyone and ultimately force them to adopt his way of life and to ultimately worship him. That's where this whole thing's leading. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 13, where this prophecy is given. The Bible says that all people will be forced to worship the Antichrist, Satan's personal agent. And in so doing, they will be committing idolatry against God himself. Now, when the terrorist attacks took place in 9/11, of course, the whole nation was in an uproar. Congress decided to appoint a commission called the 9/11 Commission. And said, we want you to calculate how to make America safe. Such prestigious people as Henry Kissinger and others were on the commission. But Congress straightly charged them, but do not come back with the mandate to establish a national ID. We're not going to do that. So, what did the 911 commission do? They came back and said, well, what we need is a means of secure identification for all of our citizens. They didn't say we need a national ID, but that's exactly what they meant. They came back and did exactly what Congress told them not to do. Well, the result was the Real ID Act was passed, first of all, in the House of Representatives without much fanfare. Most people didn't even know it was being considered. It was already passed. But when this hit the news, immediately opposition arose. Now, the Real ID Act called for bringing your original birth certificate to the license branch, your original Social Security card, proof of your address, and you had to submit to a digital photo when the driver's license was issued, because the international community was planning on the recognition, the facial recognition technology, to ultimately establish a global ID. So that was one of the things that they built into this Real ID Act. All of this information was to be placed in a database for sharing with all of the other states. So if you received your license in Texas or in Indiana, they would put all of your information in a database. But that database had to be linked to the databases of the other 49 states. So you couldn't have two or three licenses in different states. That was the idea. Well, in so doing, you created a national ID, because if you have the database, that states can access, and of course the federal government also could access it, then that means that you could, they could control you with that ID. For example, if you were forbidden to have a license in Indiana, you couldn't get one in Texas, you couldn't get one in California, and since you didn't have your ID, that means you're not going to be able to fly an airplane, you're not going to be able to enter a federal building, you won't be able to drive a car, you won't be able to open a bank account, and you are not going to be able to hold a job. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Once they establish a system where you can no longer hold a job, what does that mean? That means you can't buy or sell. If you don't have a job, you don't have any money, that means you cannot buy or sell. The prophecy, Revelation chapter number 13, says that this system is going to be implemented where every person will have to have a mark or a number, and without it, you can't buy or sell. We're veering treacherously close to the precipice now. That was prophesied about 2,000 years ago, but could only be fulfilled right now. Well, now that the publicity is hitting the American scene, all kinds of liberty-loving people rose up and began to bombard the Senate. It was now before the Senate, but there was so much opposition to it. Here at End Time Ministries, we actually published a magazine with a total edition devoted to the Real ID Act and why we should not have it, that it was in fact a national ID. And you know, the people promoting this, would they look at you with a straight face and they'd say, this is not a national ID? And all we said was, well, is it an ID? Well, yes. And is it going to be national? Well, yes. Well, then it's a national ID. But the people who wanted this didn't care about being honest. They just wanted to take this next step where big government could become bigger, because they think they know what's best for your life and for mine. They've forgotten what freedom is really all about. They don't believe in freedom anymore. They believe that man is inherently evil and that therefore you are guilty until you're proven innocent. And so we have to keep track and track everybody everywhere all the time. Now, Americans don't believe that. We believe people are innocent until proven guilty, and the government has no right to check your papers, to come in your house, to search your automobile or anything else, and they don't have the right to say, papers, please, either. That's the American tradition. But if we don't fight with all of our might for this tradition, we're going to lose it even here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, they couldn't get it passed in the Senate, so it's time for some political trickery. They decide that they will attach it to the back of an appropriation bill for our troops in Iraq. It was one of those must-pass bills. So it goes through on flying colors. they passed the Real ID Act on the back of a bill that had nothing to do with the Real ID Act. That happened on May the 10th of 2005. President George W. Bush signed the bill the very next day, May the 11th of 2005. Now, this bill said that it should be enforced beginning May of 2008. They gave it a 3-year window to get everybody used to it, for all the states to issue Real ID compliant driver's license. That these licenses would have certain features so that it was considered a secure ID. Then it could be used for boarding airplanes. Now, nobody's paused to say, time out, wait a minute. Most all of the hijackers on 911 had legitimate ID. They could have gotten on those planes if they wanted to. Nobody stopped to do that. They should have, but they didn't, because they didn't really care about security. They were caring about getting this level of control, moving America into socialism. Okay, well, the states awakened to realize what was going to happen here, and they begin to pass laws against the Real ID, because the U.S. government had hijacked the State Bureau of Motor Vehicles. They had no business doing that. That power was not given to the U.S. government, and the states begin to pass laws against it. And soon, 25 of the 50 states of the United States had passed laws or resolutions against implementing the Real ID. Some believe Real ID is now dead in the water. However, people were not giving up, because in 2007, there were people who tried to pass an immigration bill, and they said, we need an enforceable mandatory ID in order to be able to curb immigration. Now, we've curbed immigration for 230 years by enforcing our borders, but since people were no longer willing to do that, we didn't want to keep foreign labor out. We needed foreign labor to feed our labor machine. We didn't have enough workers. And so that really wasn't the purpose, because the people that were pushing this believed in a world government. And so they wanted really a global ID. So you don't need borders anymore. We now have electronic handcuffs that we can put on everybody. And once a person has an ID, and once that ID is used for renting motels, it's used for purchasing things, it's used for where you can work, it's used like ID is used right now. Once that happens, then you start establishing a trail, and you can monitor the activity of everybody. It becomes a form of control. And the Bible says, ultimately, it will even control what you believe politically, what you believe spiritually. You say, I don't think that's ever going to happen. You're forgetting what happened under Joseph Stalin. I was reading just this past week of him butchering 20, 30 million people. Some people think as high as 60 million people were killed because they were political dissidents or they had religious beliefs that Stalin could not tolerate. Same way in China under Mao Zedong, the Cultural Revolution. We've had the same thing occur. And if we think it cannot happen here, we're just foolish. We're not studying our history books. If we yield that level of control, someday that control will be used against it. That's the reason that this is a fight that we cannot afford to lose. Well, the immigration bill called for machine scannable Social Security card. It established a national database. If you were not in that national database, you were not allowed to hold a job. Employers would have to take your card, scan it. That would be hooked up by computer to the national database under Homeland Security's control and under the IRS control and the Social Security control. And if you were not approved, you could not be hired. It became illegal, and that the employer would be subjected to fines and possibly even imprisonment if your name was not in the database. Now, the reason this is so deadly is because once that database is established, then the government can place any stipulation on that database they want to. And of course, no job, no buying, no selling. Then they went on to establish a thing called E-Verify. Today, any firm that has government contracts is required to use the E-Verify technology on everyone that they hire. That began as of September the 8th, 2009. So they say it's voluntary, but it's not voluntary for anyone that does business with the U.S. government. And there's a lot of people out there doing business with the U.S. government. This is another way the government is attempting to introduce a national ID through the back door. Okay, once again, we've got to ask this question. Why is the government so determined to implement a national ID? Control, control, control. They want to control whether you plant a tree in your front yard or your backyard. They want to control exactly how you build your house. The control factor in this nation and around the world has become absolutely suffocating, and that's the reason they're pushing so strong toward this national ID. But here's the next big question. Are we really moving toward a global ID? The International Civil Aviation Organization, which is an arm of the UN, has been assigned to oversee international travel. The acronym for International Civil Aviation Organization is ICAO. By April of 2010, 170 nations who are members of the ICAO had begun issuing passports in total conformity to the requirements of this International Civil Aviation Organization. So what's this doing? That means the passport is a global ID, and you cannot travel without it. You try it. You get to the border, they're going to send you home. Sorry, you cannot do it. So this global ID system is now being foisted upon us through the United Nations and the cooperation of all the countries of the world. These requirements include an RFID chip. All U.S. passports today have an RFID chip that can be picked up with a radio receiver as you walk past. And also they must have a digital photo, because now the ICAO has determined that facial recognition is the technology that will be used for biometric identification. What does that mean? That means if you're in an airport and they can, on the cameras, get a picture of your face, they know where you are at all times. Now, what's the problem? If you've done nothing wrong, what's the problem? Well, ask Adolf Hitler. Ask the Jews that lived under his brutal regime. All we need is for the wrong person to grab power. And now what was designed for good is going to be so terrible, so horrible. And that's the reason we're going the wrong direction right now. The U.S. head of visitor tracking program here in the United States has openly said he wants a global ID. The man's name is Jim Williams. He's the director of the U.S. visit program within the Department of Homeland Security. And he said he wants to join forces with district Department of Homeland Security agencies to develop a global identification system. I mean, the story just goes on and on and on. So are we moving into a cashless society right now? Certainly we are. Bangkok, Thailand has taken a major step toward creating a cashless society. Now that's when the numbering system is going to really work like the Bible says it will. Sydney, Australia, July 27, 2010, over the PR Newswire, Bangkok Smart Card System has secured a major component in developing their vision to direct Bangkok towards a cashless society, announcing the design and delivery of a smart card clearinghouse solution for micropayments. Now, in Nigeria, they are set to become a cashless society, according to eMoney News, August the 8th of 2010. Nigeria is set to take a huge stride towards becoming a cashless society following the release of a new mobile banking service. The MoneyBox platform allows users to make bank transactions over a mobile phone in conjunction with a scratch card. It can be used with any mobile phone anywhere, anytime, and on any mobile network with any bank and any individual, by any individual. The Irish are now moving toward cashless banking. That was reported on December the 22nd of 2009. So, are we moving toward a cashless society? Greece has now outlawed all cash transactions over 1,500 euros as of January 1, 2011. Every transaction above 1,500 euros between a person and a business or between businesses will be considered illegal. It'll be a crime if it's done by cash. Transactions will have to be done through debit or credit cards. So how about a chip under the skin? Applied Digital Solutions has produced an injectable computer chip about the size of a grain of rice. It's known as the VeriChip. This technology has been used for animals for several years, you know that. In 2004, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the injection of this chip under the skin for the maintenance of medical records. If you have a wreck, you're unconscious, the medics can just scan the chip. They'll know what meds you're on, what you're allergic to. And a lot of people believe that that's the real answer for total identification from cradle to grave. Furthermore, this could be used for financial transactions as well. It's actually being used at the Baja Beach Club in Barcelona, Spain. They're using it right now. You can check in. You can be injected with a computer chip. Since you're going to be in your bathing suit all week, no billfolds, no purses. They're using it for financial transactions right now. Now, let's remember the scripture. It says that every person is going to have a number. And it says in verse 18 of chapter 13 that the total of this number will be 666.